Welcome to Haken, an Animal Crossing podcast, your podcast dedicated to all things Animal Crossing. This episode is brought to you by Amy Moore, our newest featured artist and creator of the new art you see on the show today. Sergio and I are joined by Drama to discuss all sorts of Animal Crossing things. So to begin, hello Sergio, how are you doing?
Hello Chewy, I'm doing quite well. What about yourself?
I'm doing well, and Drama, it's nice to have you on the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. Funny thing with us is I mostly talk to you through, like, just Twitter replies on tweets. And I'm always so appreciative of everything you have to say on Twitter.
That's good. Someone has to be.
Yeah. Basically, like, I found your account because you were always, like, you know, just responding to stuff I was saying, and then I was like, oh, cool, you say some cool things. And, I mean, of course, like, it's because you're agreeing with me, and everybody feels good when people agree with them, but, you know, that's not a bad thing to be okay with.
No, I appreciate that.
But yeah, so you are a streamer. Yeah. Dramakins TV is your handle on Twitch, correct?
No, just Dramakins.
Okay. Maybe I'm just mixing. I always see the twitch.tv, and I always add that at everybody's. So Dramakins, yeah.
Yeah, Dramakins.
Before we get too far into your background and all of that stuff, I do want to spend some time discussing, or at least covering, the artwork that we have received from Amy Moore. For those who don't know, I have a Patreon, and I typically use that all of those funds to go, I guess, just directly back into the show, and for the most part, it has been art. And this piece I commissioned it from Amy Moore, AmiMoore. So Amy, I first saw her artwork. There was this piece going around. It was just a cabin, like an Animal Crossing cabin in the woods. And I was like, this is a delightful little piece. It feels so quaint. It feels quiet. It feels slightly dark as well. So I liked that. But then I like clicked through her art because I'm always looking at artists who do specific like Animal Crossing art just to kind of see what else they do. And her page has like a lot of really cute things. I like, she has this really cute burger, some cute cats and stuff that she's drawn. And so I contacted her on Twitter and was like, hey, I don't know if you do commissions, but I'm interested in one. And she responded pretty quickly and I respond pretty slowly. So it took me a little bit to actually get this going, and also because I contacted her a lot earlier than I have past artists for pieces. Mm. So this one, I was like, you know, I'm getting in kind of the hang of doing like commissioned pieces every season. Eventually, I want to move on to doing them like every month, which would be really cool. But for now, I was ahead of time. So I was like, you know, I got some time. So I was a little slow getting back to her, and I feel bad about that. But she was very quick at getting me this piece, which I'm always appreciative of. So you both can kind of see the piece right now. Mm-hmm. It is spring. It's features the cherry blossoms. It features three characters. I guess usually I pick three characters. The first art had, of course, Sergio and I as our little villagers. But this one, the last two, I've only kind of picked a few villagers to add. And so the villagers in this piece are, I guess I'll go top to bottom. That's kind of an order that they go in. So at the top, we have a deer named Bruce. He's a cranky villager. We have Ellie. She's an elephant. She's laying down on a little picnic blanket. And I actually don't know what her personality is. My guess would be normal or peppy. Oh. I don't know. And then we have Pearl, who is a cat. And I feel like I forget her personality. I haven't spoken to her since population growing. I think she was in my town. And I say that like there's only one Pearl, but everybody can have Pearl technically. But yeah, she sent me, I guess, a couple different drawings about, and I shared one of those drawings with patrons on Patreon, and it was not the final one. It was a different kind of look to it, but this one was the second drawing that I didn't send over. And I was like, I really like this picnic setting. I think it's fun. It's fitting for spring. Like, everybody, like, when winter is over, you just want to go outside after being locked up for so long. At least lately I've been feeling that way, because it's been kind of nice, like, cool spring days where it's still not too hot. I feel everything's too hot for me. but yeah, I feel like this piece kind of caught spring. Like, it's a nice day to go outside, spend looking at butterflies, watering some flowers, eating a sandwich, you know, that sort of thing. So yeah, I guess, what did you all think of this new artwork that we've got for the show?
Oh, I really liked it. When we shared it on Discord, it almost felt like one of those times when there's Animal Crossing news, because you see something so cool and exciting that it's, oh, it's so nice, it's so beautiful. And like you said, like all the ones we had so far, they really capture the spirit of the season. Like, that, this is Animal Crossing, this is spring, put together beautifully. It's amazing.
I just love how colorful it is and the color story of it all. It's a really, really pretty piece and super well done.
Yeah, yeah. I think I do really like how things pop. And the one, I forgot to mention this, but one of the reasons I really wanted to have Amy do this piece was the first piece that I saw by her, that little cabin in the forest, what I liked about it is the depth that it had. And I feel like the first two kind of Welcome to Haken and Animal Crossing podcast images were very, like, kind of more flat, more plain, mm-hmm. more like everything was in that same field of vision, that same level.
Mm-hmm.
But this one, you know, you can tell there's, like, some layering to the characters and there's some depth to it. So that's one of the reasons that I really wanted her to do it, just to give more variety to the types of, I guess, pictures that we're getting for this show. Because I don't know if I've mentioned this outside of Discord, or maybe I mentioned this on, like, a video or maybe the podcast before, but like I said, I want to start moving into, like, doing a monthly type of image, mm-hmm. and most of that is based around, like, it'd be so fun to have a calendar of these. So, yeah, that's kind of the end goal, like, to have enough, like, 12 of these images, one of them to represent each month, you know?
Right.
And just have, like, just a Haken calendar that people can enjoy. I would eventually
love that. I think that would be so pretty. That'd be really cool for people too, to have, like, a way to, like, have Haken in their own home.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Bring in the entire world of Haken to your home.
Yeah. That's how you sell it.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, the last thing I really wanted to say was a little, I guess, usually the characters I pick have some sort of theme, some sort of meaning and everything. In this case, all of these characters had spring birthdays, and Bruce, who's the deer in this piece, was one of my favorite villagers that I had. He was my best friend until he moved away. What a meanie. but he's a cranky villager. I never really liked the interior of his house. It seemed strange. Like, it didn't really fit him. He had, like, a basketball hoop going on. It was kind of grungy and strange. I don't know. I felt like it didn't really fit, like, the cranky personality, but, you know, you get what you get.
Yeah.
And then Ellie, I have a good friend named Ellie who has done some pretty cool art herself, and I was like, oh, there's an elephant, and its name is Ellie, and I have a good friend named Ellie, and so I just picked it, and they had a spring birthday, so
Ooh, nice.
I think it worked out. And then Pearl, like I said, is a villager I've had back in Population Growing. And yeah, so I thought it was just fitting to have a couple villagers that I have had in my town, and one that just reminded me of a friend who I haven't really had, but I have all the amiibo cards, so I could scan them in technically. I think they were... This character was a at least the Ellie character, was introduced in the first Animal Crossing, maybe E plus or something. But it was one of the returning characters through the Welcome Amiibo card set.
Nice.
That's very repetitive. Welcome Amiibo card set. Two separate things. Just in case you thought I said Amiibo twice, I did. But yeah, it's a fun piece. I'm really happy about it. And before we move on from there, I do want to say follow Amy on all of her social media and everything. She's got a Twitter, Amy Illustration. Once again, that's AMI and then Illustration, how you would normally spell it. Instagram is Amy Moore Illustration. And then she has a Tumblr as well, and she's Mayor Cutie Cat there. So mayor-cutiecat.tumblr.com. And that's where you can find her. And you'll probably see all of these things all throughout the social media. They'll be in the show notes as well, if you're interested. And like I said, check out her website. She's got a lot of really cute artwork there. And yeah, she does commissions. So if you like it, feel free to order from her. She's great. All right, so let's go ahead and move on. Like I said, we're going to get back to you, drama. and we are now back to you. So what I always like to do when we have guests on the show is get kind of a background of their, you know, their essential story with Animal Crossing. So my question to you is, when did you first get into Animal Crossing? What game was it? How old were you? Tell us every single detail you can. Like, I really love when people go in depth with these things.
Okay. Well, the first time I ever played Animal Crossing was actually on the GameCube. I was in middle school, and it, like, had just came out, like, that September. And I was like, okay, I want it. And so that's what we did. I went ahead and been playing Animal Crossing since the GameCube, like, on release.
That's pretty awesome. So, what I like about that is, like, I remember, I don't even know how, no, you know what, I just remembered. I remember, I didn't know anything about Animal Crossing. I'd never seen it, I never heard it, I never even knew it existed. And then just some friend came to school one day and he's like, hey, I got a GameCube, I got this game called Animal Crossing, and then he started telling me about it, and I was like, I don't know what you're talking about, but I love everything you're saying. And yeah. So yeah, it wasn't a game like I got like right at it as it came out. I didn't even have a GameCube at the time it came out. I mean, I was still sitting. I think I was in like sixth grade, and I was building little GameCubes out of paper and so pretending cute to play one.
Oh my god, that's too honest.
I was just like, I was a little kid. but yeah, it's really cool that you got it at launch. So I guess, what did you think when you first played it?
Well, I mean, like, because I got the GameCube also at launch, which was really funny. It was like the year before that. And my brother always had like tons of different games to play. Like, he was really into like Luigi's Mansion and like everything else that it had to offer. But I never really felt like there was a game that like really stood out to me. Like, I had Pikmin, but like, I don't know, I wasn't very good at it. And I always like felt bad when I watched people play like a complete story game, because like once it's over, it's over. And I always hated that feeling. And the way that Animal Crossing was always advertised and how it is that it doesn't technically end. And so when I started seeing like the commercials for it, I was like, Mom, I need this. And she's like, yeah, let's get that for you. That'll be fun for you. Like, she felt bad that I had this system I never touched. And she's like, let's find a game that you'll actually play on it that I bought you. Like, that would be great. So yeah, I've been playing it. I played it so much all the time. I spent a lot of hours playing Animal Crossing on the GameCube. I can't even explain.
Go Mom. I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
To feel like, oh man, I got you the system and it's a bummer for you. Let's fix that with some Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
I think that should be Nintendo's attitude right now.
Exactly. Be my mom, Nintendo.
I guess what was it, those commercials where they had like those live action people kind of dressed up?
I love
those.
Those
the ones?
Yeah, those got me. I was like, I need this. Like, because at the time, like if you watch them now, it's so out of touch, but at the time it was so in brand of like what we kind of wanted in commercials. And I was like, yeah, this sounds great, I want in on this so badly.
Yeah, I kind of miss that. Because I feel like you don't get that much explanation with Animal Crossing anymore. Because we've talked about this before, Sergio, where you're just like, yeah, it's this game where you get a house and pay your mortgage. Yeah. It's really cool. And so those commercials are unique because it gives you kind of, you know, just this is how Nintendo decided to explain this game. And it was like, you know, real world type of thing that's bizarre, but it makes sense for anybody who grew up at that point. But yeah, it's pretty fun. So what was it about Animal Crossing that made you like it so much? I know you kind of went into the aspect of it, like, doesn't really end kind of thing, but
yeah. That was a big thing for me. It was just like, I never wanted a game to end. And I still have that complex, like, to this day. Like, I never want games to end. I remember when I was playing the Animal Crossing on GameCube, I had got this statue that was like, hey, you finished painting off your house. And I remember crying because I was like, no, does that mean it's over? Like, I thought this game means it wouldn't be over. I was like super invested in it. But I just love everything about it. I like that I can do what I want. I can explore. I can be adventurous. I can collect. It's kind of like all of my little niche things that I liked about myself or like liked in games was all in one game for me. And I was like, this is great. I love this.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Especially because that intro with KK Slider, I always think of what he's saying. And he's just like, this is the place where you can do whatever you want. No rules, no parents, no nothing. Yeah, it's nice to go back to that. And I know, Sergio, you really latched onto that too.
Oh, yes, definitely.
So one thing I love about Animal Crossing is just like the diversity of players that are, you know, are playing the game. And you get all different ages, genders, backgrounds, whatnot. So I'm interested in your experience being a female in the gaming landscape. Because like I mentioned earlier, you're a Twitch streamer and everything. And I feel like, you know, you get all of this rhetoric from people who are just like, oh, it's always been a thing that boys do, that sort of thing. And I'm like, not really. It's always been a thing that a lot of people do. But
yeah,
I guess, can you go into your experience being a female in gaming?
It's definitely different. I think people have a perception that like, oh, you only like cutesy games like Stardew Valley and Animal Crossing. I'm like, well, I do, but I like more things too, I promise. But I feel like there's a really big stereotype. Like, I know a lot of like female gamers who are like really, really competitive and play like professionally. So like, it's a very different, vast thing from, like, you know, some people who are more casual players like myself to, like, where some are, like, more competitive. I feel like I try to sell myself as somebody who's bad at games. And so I feel like that's why people like to watch me is because they like to watch me fail.
I think that's fun. That can be fun.
It is. It's fun. Then I can be as reckless as I want to be.
Yeah, and I think that's good. I think that's good to recognize that, you know, there are women out there who are playing games for different reasons. And that's where I feel like a lot of people get stuck, where they're just like, they can't imagine that. And I'm like, I don't know. Why not? I mean, I think there are a lot of ways that things are appealing. And I guess this makes me think of, too, like you mentioned Stardew Valley.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of a new fan of that game, a newer-ish fan. Like, I got into it as it was added to the Switch, for example.
Okay.
So, recently, there was, like, a competitive Stardew Valley stream going on. And everybody was like, how does that even work? And I think there was a big cash prize involved. I forget. I want to say like somewhere in the hundreds of thousands of dollars or something.
It was a big money pool. I know that.
Yeah. So it was a lot of money at stake for playing Stardew Valley competitively. But I think most of the goals were just like getting all the achievements or something. Which I haven't done that. It's hard to do.
It's so hard.
And you have to put in a lot of hours to be able to do that. But I think they had teams doing it since, you know, the multiplayer has been added. And that's just an amazing thing to me that, like, you can turn almost any game into something competitive. And I feel like that happens with Animal Crossing at times. So... Have you ever been competitive with Animal Crossing or like felt like, oh man, I need to keep playing because some people got this stuff and I don't have that stuff and I need it. So have you felt that urge at all?
I'm kind of like the most uncompetitive person. Like, if someone's being competitive against me, I tend to just like try to lose on purpose so they can win. Like, I never like wanting people upset, so I'll go out of my way to make sure that they win if they're very competitive. But yeah, I've seen some people try to feel like Animal Crossing's competitive, like, oh, I'm gonna have like the best house and the most furniture and like the highest level, and I'm like, I'm just gonna play the way I want to play it and make sure I have lots of content for myself.
Yeah, and I think that's fun too. I also feel that way. And more, like Sergio, we talked about it. I forget when, but we kind of talked about our fear of like running out of content 2 years into this Animal Crossing and knowing we're gonna have to wait like another 5 years for it. And so, like, Sergio and I have talked about like maybe we shouldn't try to do everything we can in that first year. Maybe we should take it slow and like leave this game as open as possible to be lasting like whatever 7 year wait we have to go through again for the next game. Yeah, so I like that aspect too, where you can just play and do whatever you want. And I think that I feel like that just captures Animal Crossing too, though. Like that's the whole goal of the game. Yeah. So we had some miscellaneous questions for you. Sergio, you actually came up with a lot of these. Do you want to go through some of them?
Yes, definitely. So, Drama, who is your favorite villager and also non-villager character, like the special characters, like Tom Nook, Isabelle, or KK?
Okay. My favorite villager is Midge. I fell in love with her in Animal Crossing New Leaf. And I just think she's just this cutest little bird. She's like a little like plaid or whatever you call it, like sweater vest, and she has like a pink little home with like cute little furniture. And she was one of the normal villagers, and she's always had like really nice dialogue. And like when she moved away, I absolutely bawled my eyes out. Like that was actually what made me stop playing New Leaf for a while because I was like, nope, I'm done. She moved away. I'm over this game. So I was really upset about that. I think out of like the non-villagers, I'll probably have to go basic and go Tom Nook. I always like the idea that he's like this jokingly villain in the game. Like, oh my God, he's just a mobster. I like played up that role for him. So I've always loved Tom Nook and like all of like his little sonsy ruse.
You know, now that I think of it, it would be pretty fun to see him kind of take up that persona where he's like, retired mob boss or something gone clean. And he's like still got these like, tendencies to do some sort of scam, but
I
is
think it'd
like,
be
oh no.
great. I think that would be so fun. That would bring so much life to his character, like him getting off the phone with people, like, and you can tell it was like some kind of deal was going down.
Yeah, especially with like people kind of saying New Leaf was great, but I think kind of across the board, people were disappointed in the variety of the personalities of characters. Like everybody just got kind of bland after a while. And yeah, it'd be nice to give characters more personas that they could take up, you know?
So you mentioned you playing New Leaf in earlier on. You also mentioned, getting population growing right at launch and being super excited. So, question for you, which one of the mainline games is your favorite Animal Crossing game?
I've played all four of the mainline games. But I have to say that my favorite was probably New Leaf. I feel like all of them were all really good and they had different things to bring, but the amount of content that they brought to New Leaf and the different types of I guess niche things they brought, like you being the mayor and being able to like more like customize the town, I felt like that was more entertaining for me to be able to like make it feel like it was really my town and like it wasn't just like I was some random person who lived there. Like I was in charge of this place and I can make it look pretty and I don't know. I really liked the mayor aspect of the town.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and I think that's nice because like it's another way the game like casually gives you more stake in the gameplay, because I think what you run into with a game like Animal Crossing is like, okay, like I know I can do this stuff, but like I don't really need to. It's not a requirement of me. I don't get punished if I don't. But I feel like it gives you that in another way. Like, it rewards you in some way, and you feel... I mean, I don't want to use the word obligated to play and keep your village looking great, but it does make you feel like some sort of pride behind your town.
Yeah, there's an incentive to, like, keep playing or, like, doing certain tasks.
Nice. So, let's say, what is your favorite time of year to play Animal Crossing? Like, do you have a favorite season? Either do you just have more time, or maybe it reminds you of a certain event?
Well, my favorite holidays always have been Halloween. And so the idea that there's like an entire month basically dedicated to Halloween, like, I'm all about that. Like, I love doing anything Halloween-esque. Like, I remember I had like an entire house dedicated to Nightmare Before Christmas, and it was just all Halloweened out. Like, I had like perfect trees. I like already lost their fruit there, like all around it.
Nice.
I was really into Halloween.
Yeah, and I mentioned to you, Sergio, like, when you shake those perfect fruit trees enough and they lose all their leaves, it looks so good.
Yes,
it does. It looks, they're so creepy looking. And so, like, I had, like, it was like this random corner, like a little peninsula in the middle of my village. And, like, it was the very bottom corner. And so, like, if you walked down there, you would just see this house that was creepy looking with, like, creepy, like, dead trees everywhere.
That is perfect. That's life goals for me, just to achieve like the perfect creepy looking place, because that's the aesthetic right there.
Well, I mean, the rest of the town was cutesy. Like, I had all of the cute furniture, like the mermaid stuff or like the candy stuff or whatever it was, but the rest of the town was super cutesy, but the one corner was like, wait, what's going on here?
That makes it like even better, because it makes me just think of all those Halloween specials where, you know, the kids, they live in that perfect town and they're all afraid to trick or treat at this one scary house on the block.
Yes.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Nice. Now, as far as, you know, the spin-off games like Happy Home Designer, Amiibo Festival, and more recently Pocket Camp, what do you think of those? Which one is your favorite? Did you actually like Amiibo Festival?
We don't talk about Amiibo Festival. Oh. No, I actually never played it. I got a Wii U kind of at a weird time, and I already heard all of the horror stories. I was like, I'm going to avoid that. But I did get Happy Home Designer, and I do play Pocket Camp pretty regularly. I did really like the games. I like Happy Home Designer because it sounds selfish, but it brought new content to actual New Leaf. So, like, it brought, like, the whole grid system into decorating inside your house. Like, gotcha. That was brought because of Happy Home Designer.
Right.
But it also gave me hope for, like, a future game, because you're able to, like, decorate outside. You're able to, like, customize, like, your villagers' houses and stuff. And I liked that. And I'm like, okay, give me that in the Switch now. Like, that's what I want.
Yeah.
And then Pocket Camp has been really fun, like, as, like, a little, like, nighttime game. Like, I always, like, kind of go through and, like, collect all my stuff or do the tasks and... I don't know. It's just kind of like a nice little, like, I guess, fill the void moment.
Oh, nice. So have you been playing since launch?
Yeah, I've been playing since launch. Ooh. Not like heavy, but like if I ever go on a break, it wouldn't be more than like 30 days. But I've been playing pretty regularly since launch.
Oh, nice.
That's pretty awesome. So have you been like keeping up with kind of the updates that have happened recently?
Yeah, I do all of them. Like all the, especially like the new updates have been really awesome. Because all of the events are, like, month-long now. Instead of just, like, at the time, it was like, oh, here's a random flower event. We might get another event in, like, 2 or 3 weeks. But now it's, like, there's a whole theme. And it's, like, this one was, like, a very spring event. Like, here's a bunch of spring, like, flowered furniture and, like, spring items that you can get. And they kind of, like, kept the theme, like, for it the whole time. And so I like the way that they're doing the events now. And you can just participate in which parts of it you want or participate in all of it. Mm.
Yeah, and I keep saying, or at least, like, you know, I've been speaking very highly of Pocket Camp lately, because I feel like it started off slow. A lot of people were, you know, they were just turned off by it. It didn't feel like it filled that need for Animal Crossing like they wanted it to.
Mm-hmm.
But now, I'd say, like, all of the updates that we've gone through, all of the things that we can now do, and sort of the things that they streamlined as well, things like doing tasks for villagers and stuff. Like, you can do that so quickly now that you can enjoy other parts of the game. I feel like it's finally become that mobile title that Animal Crossing should be.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it took them long enough, but I think the unfortunate thing is, like, there are a lot of people who aren't going to go back to that. They're not going to try it again.
Yeah.
Usually that first initial release is, like, that big push to really get a game out there. And I think, unfortunately, people were turned off by it. And I'm like, no, but it's good now. you should check it out. It's fun.
I mean, I'm really glad they did it because there's a lot of friends of mine who I've met through Twitch and all of that who never played an Animal Crossing title before. And they played Pocket Camp and they're like, this seems cool, but I feel like a mainline game would be really neat. I'll wait till it comes out on the Switch. And so, like, it has, in a way, like, leaned people into, like, wanting to try, like, a mainline Animal Crossing game. And so, like, that's, like, some good that's come out of it, even from the people who may have abandoned it.
Yeah, I'm really glad you have, like, actual examples of people who haven't played Animal Crossing and then, you know, kind of got introduced through Pocket Camp. I feel... it makes me wonder who got introduced to Animal Crossing through Amiibo Festival. Those poor souls. if that was your first game, let me know. I need to know what you think of Animal Crossing.
I need to talk to you.
Yeah. Which reminds... And I don't know. I was doing a lot of research lately on, like, Animal Crossing at E3.
Yeah.
And... just watching some of the commercials, there's this one with this kid and he's like trying to sell you on Animal Crossing and stuff. And I'm just like, I want to put feelers out there to try to find this guy, whoever he is now, and see what he just knows from doing that commercial. but yeah, it's really cool to hear that, like, people have actually been learning about Animal Crossing through Pocket Camp, and maybe they didn't stick around, but maybe they saw, like, oh, there's some potential here and I'd be interested in seeing a new game or a full game, which is cool. So let's talk about content, because you were just talking about streaming on Twitch. So tell us a bit about your I guess Twitch channel.
Well, my Twitch channel is very different, I feel like, than from Animal Crossing. I tend to play more like looter shooter games or more like action pack styled games. I just find them to be just, I guess, a change of pace, and it's a lot more fun to do, like, with a Twitch environment, I would say.
Yeah, I think that's cool. That's you know, just keep it high energy, have something always to talk about. So I guess I'm guessing you play, like, a lot of different games on your own time then too.
Yeah, I play a lot more, like, casual games on my free time. Like, I've been playing, like, a lot of my time at Portia or, like, Stardew Valley on the Switch, things like that. Like, I'm more attracted to, like, the simulation, like, casual styled games, but for, like, my personality, they don't translate very well for stream. Like, some people can stream them really well, but I can't. I'm just very, like, to the book of, like, how I need to do things, like, and be efficient, and that's, I feel like that's not very entertaining to watch. It's more entertaining to watch me, like, fall down holes and die a lot, I feel like.
Yeah, so I understand that, like, as far as, like, efficiency goes, I spend, like, so much time just on my own going, like, okay, what is the best way to handle my spring season in Stardew Valley this year?
Yeah.
So I'll just, like, plan that out kind of while I'm not playing.
Oh, yeah, I've done that too. Like, I've started over in those games so many times because I'm like, okay, I can do it better. And, like, I'll see how efficient I can be, like, in a, like, the 2 years time frame in Stardew Valley, or, like, all right, like, with, like, same thing with, what was it, my time at Portia. I was like, okay, I need to start over again and again to, like, be more efficient before, like, this task comes up. And
yeah, so my time at Portia, I've seen a little bit of it. I don't know too much, but it is coming to Switch. What can you tell us about that game?
I'm actually partner with them, so yay!
Cool.
But I love that game. So basically, it's similar in a way to Stardew Valley, except instead of having, like, a farm and, like, really focusing on growing crops, you have a workshop. So you're more crafting furniture and items kind of for the town. And the way that I guess I like it almost more than Stardew Valley is that you're helping improve the town. So, like, at one point, the town doesn't have any streetlights. You help build streetlights to make it so it's more lit up for yourself at night. And just, like, little things over time that you're doing to try to, like, be the best workshop in town, I guess.
That's something that sounds really appealing to me.
Yeah.
Mostly because it's, like, Stardew Valley, essentially what you described, you only get that through the community center, yeah. for example. And one thing I always mention on Discord is, like, I would not mind if going into this Animal Crossing game that we don't get kind of a full thing going. Like, I like that aspect of seeing your town grow and being part of that yeah. growth and, I guess, really contributing to the society yeah. in some way.
Exactly.
So, yeah, that's why I've been interested in my time at Portia. I think it looks, I like the look of it. I like the type of game it is. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, in general, I just feel like, when are we getting Animal Crossing? I need something to fill my time with.
It's supposed to come out sometime this spring for the My Time at Portia. I know that. They haven't officially announced a date yet, but it's supposed to come out in the springtime. So hopefully we get a date soon because I want to know.
Yeah, that's exciting. I'm pretty sure a lot of our listeners are looking forward to that. And if they don't know about it, they'd probably be happy to play and know about that game. Mm-hmm. Especially just to, like, you know, we need something while we're waiting.
Yeah, it's definitely will fill the void of waiting, I guess.
Yeah, so I guess as far as content go, do you mainly stream? Is that the main thing you like to create?
Yeah, so I think for the most part of my content that I do is just mostly on Twitch, just mostly streaming. I've been doing that for almost 2 years now. So, yeah, I really like it, though.
That's pretty awesome. And then I saw recently you've started a YouTube channel as yeah. well. And I, you know, because I follow you on Twitter, I kind of have an idea that it's going to be kind of Animal Crossing related.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess I'm sure, like, you're just at the beginning of this / early stages, but I guess, do you have any ideas of what you want to do? Because I look for as much Animal Crossing content as anybody, and even though I make a bunch of it, too, but I always appreciate more.
I'm the same way. Like, I feel like with my streaming, like I said, like, it's very action-packed, it's very in-your-face, and I kind of, like, want to create different style of content, but it's not exactly for my audience that I have with Twitch. So, like, I want to be able to have a different platform, so that, like, YouTube, where I can be more relaxed with gaming or, like, play, I don't know, if I ever, like, switch to other types of content, but I definitely want to be more focused around Animal Crossing as best I can.
Yeah, that's awesome. Especially with, like, Animal Crossing Switch coming out, mm-hmm. We're going to need to see everybody's towns. We want to see how people are designing things. Because I think that's, like, one of the really big fun things about it is, like, just how supportive people are / genuinely excited to see what you're doing with your yeah. town. And I think that's where, I guess, Animal Crossing does get away from that, like, competitive aspect. It's where, like, you have a community that's truly feeling like, oh, I really like what you're doing. That inspires me to do this. Or they like what you're doing, you know, and they're inspired to do something along those lines. So, yeah, I think that's exciting. Just because, like I said, I look for as much content as anybody.
I do the same thing.
Because I need to know. I need to know who knows what out there.
I'm the same way. I literally search the word Animal Crossing on Twitter every day. I search the Reddit all the time. I'm always on YouTube, nice. Like, looking for new videos. Even if I like watching, like, your wish list videos, like, I watch all of those from everybody. I just, I don't know. I love Animal Crossing content, and I just want to absorb as much as possible.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's just fun. It's fun to get more of the game that you love. Mm-hmm. So I guess what advice would you have for people wanting to create content?
I think one of the best things that you can really do as a content creator is to not put all your eggs in one basket. Like I said, I've been just streaming on Twitch for like 2 years, but now it's like, okay, I want to expand my content now. I got Twitch under my belt. I still want to do it, but now I want to like branch out more into YouTube, or maybe I want to branch out more into like Instagram or whatever the case may be. Try to make sure that you are dipping your toes in a little bit of everything in case, you know, one of the houses burns down.
I think, yeah, that's a huge thing. I have a lot of friends. I do like marketing as like my main job, my day job. you could say. But I have a lot of friends who, like, marketing is one of those, I guess, types of careers where you can really do a lot with it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start looking into stuff that you can do on your own, one of the biggest warnings is always, like, exactly that. Like, don't put all your eggs in one basket, because that basket's going to break one day.
Yeah.
And all your eggs are going to fall out, and you're going to have nothing to carry them anymore. And so that's always the danger with those types of things. You see a lot more just articles coming out of YouTubers feeling like, you know, they're burnt out. Their channel has been destroyed by the algorithm. They can't really make the same amount of money or make the living they used to on YouTube. And they, you know, unfortunately, in some cases, people are left like scrambling for something else, you know, some other revenue stream. So, yeah, I think that's really good advice to give people, and just to make sure, you know, if you're going to depend on it, make sure it's not the only thing you depend on.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's why you see a lot of YouTubers coming over to Twitch now, is because there's just a different line of revenue and there's a different audience that's available there. And so you see a lot of people who are doing both. And I feel like it's easier to go from YouTube to Twitch, and going from Twitch to YouTube is a little bit harder, but I don't know. I feel like it's a different type of content that I want to make, so I think it'll still be fun.
Yeah, yeah. And I think especially when people think about, like, starting to make content and everything, I forget what the percentage is of content on YouTube being about video games, but it is, like, the majority. It's a huge percentage. And so it's not only, like, a market that's very impacted, like, a lot of people are doing it, but it's also a market that's, like, definitely evolving based on that, especially, like, the switch over to Twitch. It rhymes. but what I'm saying is, like, the whole idea of doing content around video games is people usually think of, like, Let's Plays first. And a lot of those channels that did Let's Plays have been, like, on the decline. They don't really do them anymore, and if they do, it's a live stream type of thing, because that's just the way people have learned, or at least migrated toward, in terms of, like, enjoying watching people play games. And it's kind of, and I feel like it makes sense. It's like the natural progression of things to me, just because growing up, you play games with people. Sometimes it's like a single player game, and you know, you're with some friends, but part of the fun of it is that you can all experience that game at once, chat about it, that sort of thing. And so I feel like Twitch was the natural direction to go with that type of content, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It's really cool because, like, someone might not know about a game that you're playing. They come in and ask you questions, and then you can help them. And you can't really, like, do that as easily on YouTube like you can that instant gratification that people want. They can get that with Twitch, which is really cool.
Yeah, I mean, I was streaming yesterday, and it was Breath of the Wild doing, like, DLC stuff, and I was like, I can't climb this thing, it's raining. And somebody was like, if you fly over there, there's, like, a place you can fly up with. And I was like, oh, good. So, yeah, sometimes we just need help, because we're not the best at games. We just happen to play them in front of people. Well, yeah, that's really awesome. Was there anything else you'd like, you think is, like, good advice, or anything that really helped you out with your streaming?
I feel like always being true to yourself. Like, you see some people who will, like, kind of play as a character or something like that. But I felt like for me, it was just so much easier just being me and try not to be scared of, like, oh man, what if someone doesn't like me? Well, somebody will. You're bound to find some people that will think you're entertaining or want to talk to you. So, just be true to yourself, play things that you actually are interested in playing, and do things that you actually enjoy, and you'll produce good content and people will show.
Yeah, I think that's all. I think I fell down a rabbit hole one day when I feel like you tweeted something about, like, how long it took people to become, say, a partner on Twitch.
Yeah.
And, you know, I fell down the rabbit hole just seeing, like, all these different responses about, like, how many times people applied.
And got denied. Yeah.
Yeah. So can you give us a little insight on that?
I think a lot of people assume that, like, it's really easy for anyone who already has Twitch partnership. Like, I personally do. And they feel like that, oh, man, you're a Twitch partner. Like, you have no say. You don't know what it's like to struggle or to, like, get denied. And so I had a friend who just got denied for Twitch Partner, and I just like wanted to basically cheer her up. And so I went on and asked all of my friends, hey, how many times have you been denied for Twitch Partner? And the amount of people that replied was just crazy. And the amount of times they had is just a lot higher than I thought it was going to be for some people. But it just shows that, you know, just because it happened to you doesn't mean it's the end of the world. Like, you can keep going. Like, look at all these successful people who have been denied before.
Yeah, yeah. It takes a lot of work to get there. And just because, like, somebody's already there doesn't mean, you know, they didn't... Their struggle to get there is not erased.
Yeah.
And their struggle to stay there is not erased either. Right,
right. Oh, yeah, no, exactly. That's a huge thing with, like, a lot of people who, like, get Twitch partnership. It's hard for them to, like, maintain that audience, especially if their content changes or anything like that. It's always a struggle.
Yeah, and I feel like this should give people some insight on how hard it is to start a band and then be a successful band for years, because everybody hates you as soon as you change what you're doing. but it's hard because, you know, people grow, they change, they transform in some way that just alters the type of stuff they're interested in making.
Yeah.
And so I think the realistic thing that happens is that people are going to change, and then there's some people who are going to like it. Some people are like, you know what? This is fine. I'm okay with this. I like it. So yeah, it's hard to start a band, everyone. No, that's really cool. And I always think of kind of the YouTube thing as well. And because my channel is, I don't know, a little over 3 years old at this point. But I remember at the beginning, things have changed on the YouTube landscape a lot. And part of it is just like understanding that YouTube is a platform where that depends on people watching a lot of things and for them to essentially be able to serve up tons of ads. Like, that's what they're going for. They're trying to serve up ads and earn revenue through those. And so, like, when I started my YouTube channel, I think it was easy for, like, anybody to just run an ad on their channel. And then you get things that happen, some different types of scandals. And then a little later, people are YouTube changes, and they're like, okay, so, you know, our people aren't going to run ads on here if we just let anybody do videos. Like, we need people who in general are like creating a trustworthy type of audience, and, you know, aren't posting things that are going against, you know, their different guidelines and all of that. And so at the beginning, while I could run ads and that sort of thing, that changed quickly, and they've changed things where it's like, oh, you need 10,000 views on your channel to run ads. And then for a lot of people, that was like, oh, that's nothing, you can do that. And I was like, oh, I'm not there yet. And then I was almost there, and then all of a sudden that changed to like, oh, you need 1,000 subscribers and 4,000 hours watched in the last year. And so
you're like, okay.
Okay. Yeah. And so I managed to reach that one barely. It took 3 years. But yeah, I think being aware of just like what it takes to, you know, at least make it some form of revenue is also hard. Because, and I think that's the one thing I'm impressed with Twitch, is that like you can look at your stats and see how you're doing as far as like how close you are with like partnership and stuff. And I guess my question is that like accurate to, what it takes to be a partner, or are people still like denied after that?
I mean, yeah, I guess at the end of the day, if you like you had really bad content, even though you had the viewership, they probably wouldn't want to give it to you. But for the most part, if you meet the requirements, you're pretty much guaranteed to get partner, but you might not get on your first try. And I feel like that's where a lot of misconception comes from, is they think is, oh man, I hit, you know, path to partner, I can apply for Twitch partner, and then they get denied and they don't understand why. It's because Twitch wants to make sure that you're going to maintain that. It's more about the longevity, more than you did it right now. They want to make sure you can do it. Like, I had a friend who was just recently denied, and he has about 300 people in his stream every day now. But they denied him because he had just recently started getting that, like, that traction, and they just want to make sure it's legit. So they're like, all right, we'll play again and we'll let you know. And that's kind of like, I feel like some people miss that.
Yeah. And that's hard to do. And so I totally get it from their perspective, but it's also like, you know, it's just hard to maintain that. It's hard to keep consistent, but, but the people who do, like, eventually they get there and there's the reward at the end of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So let's get into the main stuff. Let's talk about Animal Crossing Switch. Yes. Like I said, we talk on Twitter a lot, and it's mostly about Animal Crossing Switch and our disappointment of never hearing any news. I want to start at the beginning.
Awesome.
And by the beginning, I mean Animal Crossing Switch was announced. We had the September 13th, 2018, I've ingrained this date in my head, but that day was the day that changed everything. Because up until then, it was just speculation, like, is Animal Crossing happening? So we had that direct. Isabel pops up on the screen. I started freaking out. I'm sure everybody started freaking out. But you find out she's invited to Smash, and then it's kind of taken away from you at that point. And then Tom Nook finally pops up, and he lets us know that he's working on our town, because, you know, Tom Nook's our homeboy.
Yeah.
He's hooking it up.
He's got my back.
Yeah, he's got all of our backs. So what was your reaction to that announcement?
Well, I think everyone's standard reaction was, oh my God, it's happening. Oh my God, it's not. Why would you do this to me, Nintendo? Then, oh my God, it is actually happening. So I went through a wave of emotion, and I feel like that it was such a heavy wave of emotion for me. It kind of put me in a bad mood like the rest of the day. Like, I was so excited that it was happening, but they had debated me so hard that I was just, like, angry. And, like, I was just like, I can't do this right now. Like, I was very mad. I was a swearing mess. I was so glad I wasn't streaming it or, like, recording it, because it was just, like, me, like, no! And, like, just yelling. And my boyfriend had came in. He was like, are you okay? Like, is everything all right? And I was like, I'm mad.
I think that's the similar type of thing we had, where they're just dangling exactly what you want in front of you, and then it's Charlie Brown trying to kick the football.
It really is.
It's pulled away from you. You fall flat on your back, and you're just like, how could I fall for this again?
I know.
Why did I think you were going to treat me any differently, Nintendo?
I think what gets me is that I was begging for that, though. I was begging for, like, just the splash screen. I was like, I just want them to confirm it's happening. I just want it to be confirmed it's happening. I was like, I don't care. It's just a splash screen that says, like, Animal Crossing. And that's literally what we got. And I was like, no, my own words against me.
Yeah, and Sergio and I have said the same thing. We're just like, just tell us. Just tell us what's happening.
Just tell us what's happening. And now that you told us, you know, 6 months ago, Nintendo, tell us a little more.
Yeah, half a year we've been waiting. It's so... So, okay, now in hindsight, how do you feel about that whole reveal? Do you think it was good? Do you think it was deserved? Do you think it was too cruel?
I feel like Isabelle was being announced anyway into Smash, and I feel like it would have been cruel to not let us know it was going to be also, like, coming for us too. I feel like that's why they almost had to do a splash screen, even though they probably knew the game wasn't going to happen, like, anytime soon, and they had no gameplay footage to actually show us. They're like, we have to at least tell them, or else we're going to make every Animal Crossing fan angry. And I think they literally announced it just to circumvent the anger we would have all had.
Yeah, that it feels like they had to say it. Exactly.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it would have been a trap of us just going, like, what are you thinking, Nintendo?
The outrage that would have been if they didn't announce it, but they announced Isabelle as a character, right, would have been insane.
I bet you it would have cut into Smash sales.
Oh, yeah.
I think a lot of people were like, awesome, Isabelle's in it, that's my girl, we're going to fight with her all day, every day. But then they don't announce Animal Crossing. They're like, oh, never mind.
Yeah, you're announcing a character with no future. What are you doing?
Oh, that's so sad to think about. It'd be sad to think Isabelle's just trapped in that town hall in New Leaf and just not able to do anything.
Waiting for us to come home.
All right, so one thing I always bring up on Twitter is just how long it has been since this announcement and how little we know still. So how did you feel at the beginning of this year, like January, February, like prior to the direct?
I did not think it was going to come out this spring. I thought the soonest it personally would come out would be like June or like July. I felt like that would probably be the soonest. Like it just, I was like, there's no way they would have done it that early in the year unless it was in the January direct and we didn't have a January direct. So I was like, okay, if we're not having one until February, then we're probably not getting one until the second half of the year. And so I kind of like have still been waiting for just like some information. And so I've just been like anxious for info more than like anxious for the game because I just know to not expect the game yet.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard. It's hard waiting for news, and I think that's where a lot of us are, especially after this direct, too.
Yeah. Where
so many of us were thinking, like, okay, this is happening. It literally happened 5 months after the announcement, and it's like, okay, that seems like long enough, Nintendo. Come on, give us some news.
Give us something.
And then still nothing. Still absolutely nothing. And I feel bad because I think some people are still feeling like it's going to come out in the spring. And I'm like, no, buddy.
No, honey, it's not. Our sweet summer child, it's not happening.
Yeah, even the summer feels like a long shot at this point.
Yeah.
So what are you thinking in terms of like a release date?
Well, mine's going to be selfish because I like Halloween. So I want it to be in September so I can have the whole month of October to like enjoy. Ooh. So mine's a selfish request, but I also think it'd be a good time too. Because there's going to be a lot of people who have never played Animal Crossing before, and not that winter isn't pretty, like you had mentioned in a previous podcast, but it's just, I don't know, there's something nice about seeing the fall and the leaves and be able to catch bugs, and I don't want people to miss out on those, like, late summer, early fall experiences that they won't get if it gets introduced, like, in, like, let's say November or something like that.
Yeah, definitely, and I like your idea of having it like before October, because one of the coolest things, and you mentioned it earlier, was just that October was the month dedicated to Halloween. Like instantly everything changed. Like you'd run around in your town, Jack would pop up and be like, hey, come over here. And you're like, where's that voice coming from?
Yeah.
And you eventually find him and he pops up and he's like, hey, you want to help me be a little evil?
And you're like, yes.
Of course. So yeah, and then all of a sudden, like, you can find all the different masks and things in the store. You can buy candy. And it just feels like the month is dedicated to it, and that's definitely something I'd want to see more of in the game, where it's like, and I feel like almost like Pocket Camp is doing this too with like its month-long events, right? Where you have these themed events and you have all these different activities that you do, which are all the same activities, but at least like the items that you're getting are all based around this season, this thing that's going on. And I feel like that gives people that connection to the world, that connection to, like, this is a part of my day. This is how I'm going to spend a good part of my day. I'm just going to, you know, play for an hour, maybe two, probably five.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to be able to enjoy this whole holiday at the end of the month. And I feel like that adopts, like, kind of the realistic aspect of the game, where you know, a person in real life is like, all right, it's October now. I should probably start getting my decorations up and, you know, make this place a little spooky, buy some candy for the kids and all that sort of thing that makes it fun. And I want to see more of that in Animal Crossing. I feel like October does it well.
Yeah.
And like you're saying, it's a great, great, great place for new players to just experience the game, because then they get to see like what makes it very exciting. What makes why this real time clock makes sense.
Watching the leaves fall and watching the snow fall, and then like when that finishes out, like they're gonna watch the like the flowers bloom. Like that whole like process and time frame would be so fun for a new player to be able to like really, really experience the game.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So what types of new things would you like to see in Animal Crossing Switch?
I really want to see them take things from all of the other games and like mash them together a little bit better. Like I want that grid style that was in Happy Home Designer they brought to Pocket Camp a little bit to New Leaf, but I want that like mass produced. Like I want to be able to place like public works projects like on a grid. Like I want everything placed properly. I want to be able to move buildings. I want a full blown grid system. Give me.
Yeah. And moving buildings, that would be huge because you had those like the cafe type of thing where once you placed it, you couldn't move it. Or the campsite, you placed that and it was stuck. And I always was confused as to why that was the case. Like, why can I not move this anymore? Why can't I at least like destroy it, you know, and build another one somewhere else?
Yeah.
But yeah, I always point to Happy Home Designer with these types of things because it gave you so much freedom to do so much more with the space that you had.
Exactly.
Be it like placing just like a couch outside of your house or like a carpet or something.
Or a toilet, you know?
Yeah. People need to go to the bathroom, and when nature calls, you can go in nature.
I'm not going to judge. It's fine. I'll put up a fence for you.
Yeah. But yeah, it's really cool to have that type of freedom and be able to do a bunch of different things that you just literally haven't been able to do yet.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I guess that kind of goes into my other question. But what would you like to see return from previous games?
I'd really like to see, I mean, besides balls, that's obvious. I'd really like to see them bring back the mayor. I really like being the mayor. I don't want to like lose my title of being the mayor because I feel like they've gave me so much power. Like, please don't take that away. I like to see that come back, but I like to see it just enhanced and like improved and just like escalated. I'd really, really love to see that.
Yeah, Sergio, I feel like you have something to say about that.
Yes, I feel like it almost has to. Like you said, if they take that away, it's like going backwards. But instead, it should move forwards. It should allow you a lot more freedom. And I think even the full grid system, it can be part of that. If you're the mayor, you should have the liberty to demolish a building and rebuild it somewhere else. Maybe it's really expensive and that's fine. You know, if you do that, that's probably something you're going to do after you've been playing the game for a bunch of months. So you can save up for that. And it gives you more goals in the game than just paying your home. Maybe your main goal at this time is you want to move the museum somewhere else or the store. So you can do all that with a grid system because you're more of a mayor, if you will.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
I definitely want that. Like, I think it'd be kind of interesting, too, to, like, have some of the things that you do place, like those public works projects, maybe like they're more like tourist attractions. Like if I place a pool, maybe like cool characters that don't live in my town actually come visit. Like I want my town to be like a tourist stop. Like I want people to come visit me and like enjoy my town that way. I think that'd be like a different way to like introduce yourself to like new villagers that could possibly maybe even move in.
Oh.
Yeah, that's really cool. So last episode, I think it was last episode where we talked about microtransactions, right?
Yes.
I mostly from the comments, I saw people were just like, no, definitely not. And I mean, I think it was unclear. Sergio and I would for sure prefer not to have microtransactions, but we're open to the idea of some sort of like DLC, right? Yeah. A big free update like Welcome Amiibo or something we pay for, which seems to be kind of the route Nintendo has been taking with at least games now. So I guess, do you think Animal Crossing Switch will have paid DLC or what would you feel about that?
I kind of almost hope that they do because like I think anyone who's played Animal Crossing for a very long time, when you play it for so long, after about a year or two, you run out of content. And I feel like having that option for like a year down the road or 2 years down the road that there's DLC, that would bring people back into their villages. That'd be, I guess, fresh for people who have continued to play that whole time. I think having the option there or having the idea there isn't a bad one, because it can just bring new content and give you new experiences.
Yeah, and that's, I think, kind of the, along the lines where Sergio and I, both our feelings fell, where it was like, you know, we play a lot of Animal Crossing, and at some point, there's just, like you said, you run out of stuff to do, surprisingly. And so I am definitely open for, like, just a revamp of things and just more stuff when we're all out. Yeah. So, yeah, it's been really fun talking to you. I'm very excited about, you know, just, like, all of the different things that are going on. And I'm excited to see your channel. Thanks. Your YouTube stuff. I'm going to be on the lookout, of course, for whenever that happens. But yeah, I guess before we move on to our next announcement and end the show, where can people find you?
People can find me on Twitch, which is twitch.tv/dramakins. Or you can find me on Twitter, which is dramakinstv.
Awesome. And then your YouTube wouldn't be the same quite yet either.
Yeah, I don't have the followers yet. I think you have to get like 100 subscribers on YouTube before you can change it, but it will be Dramakins when I get there.
Yeah, and that's, like I said, when I started my channel, I think they had just added that feature where you had to get to 100 to get that URL. So yeah, like things are always changing in those platforms and it's requiring different things of people. So keep working at it, everybody, if you want to make stuff. And you'll get there. But yeah, it's been awesome having you. It's always really fun to have a guest on and just talk to them and figure out what's going on.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it too.
Yeah, so we have a big announcement. I guess it's not a big announcement. It's just a regular-sized announcement. But we're going to do a live show next weekend. I confirmed it with Sergio just before the show because that's the kind of thing I do. But we're doing this Saturday, the 23rd. Is it March? Yeah, March 23rd at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. So whatever you need to do to find out what time that is in your time zone. Luckily we have Google now to find that out. But yeah, we'll be live. It'll be on the Discord as per usual. And I don't know exactly what we're going to do yet, but we always find some fun things to talk about, but I figured it's been long enough since we've done a live show. And I really wanted to go with a time that I felt would most likely work for a lot of our European listeners and everything. So yeah, if that interests you, join the Discord. Links are in the descriptions of this video or the podcast notes, wherever you're watching or listening. So yeah, it's cool. The last thing we're going to go over is, of course, our Haken's Villager Corner. I think we're going to try to go through this pretty quickly today, Sergio, since we're going long.
Yes.
Sorry.
But the question... Oh, no, that's all right. It's always worth it for having guests on. And, you know, really, nobody minds when we go long. I always hear, like, people look at the time that the podcast goes, and they're like, yes, it's a long one this time.
I'm the same way. I see it long, I'm like, ooh, time to get some snacks. Let's go.
Yeah, so I really appreciate that people love listening to this. So the question this week for Haken's Villager Corner, and as always, let me explain that to you. We ask a question to our patrons every week on Patreon, and this week's question was, what is your favorite exhibit at the museum? So yeah, Sergio, I don't know how many comments we can make on these, but we'll try to make it quick so it doesn't go too long.
Yes, sounds good.
Yeah, do you want to start, Sergio?
Yes. We have the first answer by Second, and they say, I love the bug exhibits in general. There's just more stuff to look at, but the fish exhibit in New Leaf is very good, especially that river fish section.
Yeah. Oh, and I wish I could talk about more. I'm going to real quickly say, one thing I really love about the museum, or at least starting a new Animal Crossing game, is first going to the museum and how they've redesigned it. That's always an exciting moment for me, because a big part of the game for me is there's two things: paying off your home, and then donating everything to the museum.
Yes.
I always try to do those two things. I don't always win.
Same.
But it is fun to do that. So Amarok 44 says, for me, it's the fish exhibit. It's always nice and relaxing to sit and watch the fish swim by. Yeah, it is really nice.
Nice. Next, we have Dragon, and he says, the art gallery is the best part for me, especially once it's full. Knowing how hard it is, in theory, to get that full art gallery is something that feels really satisfying to me. And yeah. I agree, that's very true. It's definitely difficult, time-consuming. That's
the one I never finish, except for New Leaf. I did it in that one.
Ooh.
Nice. Cyborg Jiro says, I like the fossils in general. It feels rewarding to complete a fossil. I usually hoard them in my home till I have one completed to give to the museum. If only there was a space exhibit, I would definitely choose that.
Oh, we need new exhibits, Nintendo.
Yeah, give us more.
Awesome. Yes.
Next, we have an answer by Sarah. She says, my favorite is the aquarium. I love seeing all of the different fish swim around, and the ambience is just so nice.
Yeah, and the one thing I like about Animal Crossing New Leaf was the changing in lighting, mm-hmm. and I feel like it really comes out in the aquarium in that one.
Yes.
So Coconut says, or Alex, to be honest, when I play Animal Crossing, I'm not struck by that completionist mentality. So my fossil and art exhibits typically take quite a while to fill up. So for me, it's a tie between the bug and fish exhibits. They fill up so fast, and I learn a new fun fact each time I walk through them. Gives me that same giddy feeling third grade science class used to give me.
Nice.
Yeah, that's cute.
Next, we have Grizzly Nina, and she says, the museum is one of my main happy places in Animal Crossing. I always try to complete every exhibit. I really love the river fish section in New Leaf.
A lot of fans of those river fish. I'm going to have to look at that one again. I remember it being very green. I remember things by color. That's how my memory works. Bunny says, I love the fish exhibit the best. The lighting is beautiful and the whole atmosphere is very calming.
Nice. One more for the fish.
Yep.
Next we have Evie Rose. And the answer is, I've always loved the fish exhibit. I just love the atmosphere of the place because it's so calm and relaxing. Sometimes when I was playing New Leaf at night, I could just be there and walk around and watch all the fish and just chill for a bit. It's also cool to see all the fish you've caught swimming around together. But also, I don't know if this sounds as an exhibit, but I also have always loved Celeste's observatory so much, and I really miss it. That's an interesting point.
Yeah, that's a good callback, too. I know a lot of people really miss Celeste.
Same.
How did you feel about Celeste?
I loved her. That was, like, my favorite part. I think it was Wild War, wasn't it? Oh, my God. Loved her. That was my favorite part of that game. That's why I did that the most, is I just, like, looking at the stars, and it was almost like a little mini game. It was really perfect.
Yeah, and what was nice about that one was, like, Wild World had the screen switched from New Leaf. Like, New Leaf, your top screen was you playing, and then your bottom was, like, inventory map type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But Wild World was flipped where your top screen was the sky. So you could always, like, see it, mm-hmm. and it was nice. Grace, or a penguin named Abraham, says, ocean fish. I love aquariums in real life so much. They're so atmospheric and calming. Not to mention, just really interesting because of all you can learn about the different species of fish. I love the ocean exhibit in particular because I love to watch the really big fish swim around. Ooh. Like the sharks. Yeah, I do like that one a lot too. And that, like, kind of like round room that you have, it's a very different angle from Animal Crossing.
Yeah, for sure. Next, we have an answer by Vidlix. I love the aquariums, but I also like having completed dinosaur exhibits. So, man, everyone is going with the fish, for sure.
Yeah, but the fossils are great. I feel like that's always the first one I complete, because mm-hmm. the fossils aren't, like, they're not season dependent, you know? Like, you can find any fossil at any time.
Or time dependent, either.
Yeah. Definitely. Because I think in New Leaf I'd missed like one fish in the fall, and so you know, the game came out in the summer, so I played summer, fall, and then winter came around and I was like, oh no, I have to wait an entire year to get this.
Mm-hmm.
So Cheryl Jones says, this is a boring answer, but it's got to be the aquariums. I found it so satisfying and peaceful to visit the different aquarium areas. One time, I took a bunch of pictures and turned them into an animation I posted online. I'll have to find it and repost it to Twitter. I will have to see it when you repost
it. Yeah, that'll be awesome.
Yeah, I'd love to see that.
For sure. Next, we have an answer by Arden and Herman. The aquariums, especially the ocean fish. We have easily spent hours admiring all of the fish we have collected on City Folk and New Leaf combined. Nice.
Yeah, that's...
So it carries on.
I like that they pulled in the past games for that, too. Emily says, I really enjoy the fish exhibit. I love watching them swim around. It's so peaceful and relaxing. I could stay there for hours. So there we go. More fish.
Nice. Yeah. And yeah, it does have that vibe. So for sure. And our last answer for this week is by Verity B. And the answer is, I love, love, love the aquarium. I often spend time just watching the fish swim around. The music is also so relaxing. Fingers crossed, Animal Cross, for a gyroid exhibit in the new game, where eventually you will form a whole choir of gyroids.
I'm about this idea.
Yeah.
Yes. I kid you not. Like, you know the upstairs of the museum where you could get, like, your own exhibits that you can make?
Yeah.
Two of mine are just my gyroid collection.
Mine were like Nintendo stuff.
Yeah, which makes sense too. Like, that's the obvious other choice. Like, who doesn't want a Nintendo museum in their place? But yeah, I love the collecting the gyroids. And I was like, well, here's somewhere to put them all. But yeah, once again, thank you so much for joining us, Drama. This was really awesome. I always love meeting new people and talking all things Animal Crossing.
Same, same. Thank you for having me. It was really fun chatting with you guys.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for listening. If you want to be part of the conversation on all things Animal Crossing, please join our Discord. I have a link in the description of this podcast. It's totally free to join. You don't have to be a patron. And if you do join, you can get Sergio and my friend codes. We have a friend code sheet, and it's really easy to use. But yeah, if you do want to become a patron, visit patreon.com/ChewyPlaysNintendo. For just $1, you can support our show, get tons of cool things, and you can see our current goals to improve the show and our content. We try to really make it worth it because we appreciate your support. If you're watching or listening on YouTube, please leave a comment about when you started playing Animal Crossing and your favorite museum exhibit. And please leave a review of the show wherever you're listening. It helps the show gain some visibility and allows our community to grow. Once again, thank you for listening, and we hope you have a great week.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.